coming to you from the Armed American Radio Studios on Peachtree Street in downtown Atlanta. This is Armed American Radio. Here is Mark Walters.
Allowing citizens to carry concealed handguns reduces violent crimes. And the reductions coincide very closely with the number of concealed handgun permits issued. Mass shootings in public places are reduced when law-abiding citizens are allowed to carry concealed handguns. Welcome to Armed American Radio. That's a great quote. And it, Sean, first I'm going to introduce you.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Good. Do you know who said that? I know you don't know, but I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, who said this?
That's going to be our guest in the first hour, John R. Lott, the author of More Guns, Less Crimes. He drives the anti-gun crowd bonkers.
I bet he does.
With, you know, decades of statistics that they just can't refute. And we have an awful lot to talk with John Lott about tonight, and I'm absolutely thrilled that he's going to be here today on Armed American Radio, and I'm thrilled that you're with us, and Sean, I'm thrilled that you're with us.
Thank you. I'm proud to be here.
Man, I'm telling you what, and check this out.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to hold on to it. I'll give it to you.
Why got you some do me like this, man?
I'm telling you, you're chomping because it's fun. It's fun. I got you. I'm watching you on TV here on Ustream, and folks, you can check out Sean live as we continue to work on our eventual split screen, right, Sean?
Yes, we are.
Okay, we're going to get that down to a science once we do, and I think we'll try to get that in high definition also, right?
Absolutely.
Good, good. And when we do, you'll be able to see us both on the split screen, so bear with us. We're working on it. We have a few technical kinks to work out here in this studio.
And they'll be able to chat with us as well.
Oh, yeah, right on. Yeah, and you can scroll stuff up there across the screen.
Yep.
And let listeners know what's going on next before we even talk about it.
Absolutely.
And lots of fun.
With football season, we'll keep on some of the scores.
Oh, yeah. And golf season, we can find out how bad Tiger Woods is floundering, too.
Yeah.
He's still floundering. Last I checked, he was about 6 strokes back, folks.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's get some phone numbers in here. 877-956-9566. 877-956-9566 if you wish to participate on the show today. And we hope you do, because we have had a tremendous amount of participation over the past few weeks as we continue to grow and as new listeners are made aware of Armed American Radio. It's great to have you with us, so chime on in. In fact, I'll just tell you right now that we're going to solicit bonehead candidates tonight from you via email at mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org, or with the phone number I just gave. We'll give it one more time. Get a pen or pencil. 877-956-9566. Sean, you're laughing.
I forgot you could see me. Yes, I am.
Don't forget that. Be very careful with that.
I've gotten too comfortable. Yes, I am laughing.
Today's lineup's a good one. I just mentioned the author of the More Guns, Less Crime. The third edition is out, John R. Lott Jr., and he'll be here today, and I'm very thrilled to have him on with us today, Sean. Also, hopefully, we have had some difficulty in getting Pastor Ken Blanchard on over the last couple weeks. We've advertised he is a guest, and we're awaiting him later on in today's broadcast also. So that's going to be fun. And, of course, we've got the roundtable. That's always a lot of fun.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, I guess now would be a good time to let you know, because and I should tell you that Sean does not know what I'm about to tell you, but it's exciting news, and I am very humbled and looking forward to it. Sean, I got a phone call earlier this week on Monday or Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday.
Okay.
And the gentleman asked me if I would be interested in making an appearance.
Hold on.
Sure. Listen to that. He's got to hold on. Isn't that amazing? Well, I'm not going to hold on. I'm going to go ahead and read some emails while Sean picks up the phone, and I'm sure it's bonehead award candidates that are calling in. Please do. Give us whatever you have out there. We get candidates every week for Bonehead of the Week Awards. Look up Bonehead, find out what it means, and feel free to apply it to your favorite anti-gunner, whatever statement they may have made, and send it in to us. We appreciate it. Folks, you may remember last week I had given a Bonehead of the Week Award to a woman down in Boynton Beach, Florida, by the name of Faith Campbell. If you recall, I called her Faith Hill by mistake. And Faith Campbell was one of the four or five boneheads last week from Boynton Beach because of a letter she had written to the local paper down there. And you know, I had a listener from the area send me an email with a photograph of a screenshot he had taken. He pulled up that email online, and he sent me the following email. "Hey, Mark, I thought you might find the ad posted below that Bonehead's editorial amusing." Sean, right below it on the screenshot is her anti-gun diatribe there.
Yeah.
Right below it is a Front Sight Firearms Training Institute advertisement. So, hey, Faith Campbell, take that, okay?
Very nice.
There you go. Okay, before we were interrupted,
we have our first Bonehead of the Week award.
Oh, we have a nominee?
Yes.
Oh, is the caller on the air?
Yes, he is.
Let's bring him on. Who do we have?
We have Bob.
Bob, welcome to Armed American Radio. From Wisconsin.
Mark, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Sir, we have a governor, Governor Doyle.
Oh, he is a bonehead.
This is going to be, twice he's vetoed the concealed carry bill.
He has, okay. But you know what? You're finally going to get rid of him.
I would certainly hope so.
Yeah, finally, he's out the door. And did he do something else boneheaded, Bob, this week that we need to know of?
Overall, other than spending money that we don't have, which is totally irresponsible, and his philosophy that he knows what's best for all the residents of this great state of Wisconsin, which it is a great state. We have a lot to offer everybody.
Been there, and it is beautiful.
It is. But the only problem is you can't protect yourself legally. Carrying
now,
concealed.
You do that. You're right, concealed. Now, a lot of people don't understand. This might be a good time to bring up, Bob, and I appreciate you kind of, you know, jarring my head here, and that is the fact that Wisconsin is an open carry state.
That it is.
Now,
but
it's...
Again, go ahead.
Well, it doesn't get a lot of... That doesn't get a lot of publicity.
No, it certainly doesn't. And lately, we've had cases where people... We have one fella riding a bicycle in a school zone. He had an empty assault rifle strapped over his back, and he had a loaded sidearm on his side. Okay. Now, he was within 1,000 feet of a school zone, so that's issues, and that gives us a lot of bad press because you get a few dingbats out there that makes us all look bad.
Yeah, I'm telling you what. When it comes to open carry, that is, you know, we've had the experts on here. And I love to ask Masad Ayoub when he's on the program about his thoughts on open carry. I have my thoughts on I'm open carrying right now, just so you know. So I am not opposed. I'm not opposed in any way, shape, or form to open carrying of a firearm. However, I'm very discreet about it. I pick and choose my fights when I open carry. I'm not out to make a statement, you know, because I can. That's not me. And I believe that the element of surprise is more important. However, when I'm in a more visible setting, as I am now, I tend to open carry. And, you know, I'm glad that I have that right. And you do, too. Exercise it and let people know, hey, I'm free. I may live here and Doyle is my governor, at least for the time being, but you're going to get rid of him. He's done in January.
He is. I just hope that Scott Walker will get elected as governor.
Well, we're going to try to get Scott Walker on here.
You most certainly ought to.
We're working on that. We're going to try to get Scott on here. Hey, Bob, thanks very much for the phone call, but we're getting close to taking our first break. And I'll tell you what, I love that suggestion. Therefore, Bob in Wisconsin, Governor Doyle, you are the first Bonehead of the Week on Armed American Radio this week. Thank you very much for the call, Bob. Sean, isn't that great?
That's a great thing.
Well, check this out. I got a phone. How much time do we have before we break? A couple minutes?
No, we actually have about a minute.
That's about
right
enough time to tell you that I was asked to appear on John Stossel on Fox Business Channel this week. I'll be flying up to New York on Tuesday.
Oh.
Taping on Wednesday, and the show will air Thursday at 8 p.m. and at midnight. It will then re-air at 9 p.m. on Saturday and again at midnight on Saturday, and then it will rebroadcast again next Sunday, 1 week from today, at 10 p.m. Get this, the lineup, Sean?
Yes.
The topic is more guns, less crime. And the lineup is an all-star cast of Second Amendment freedom fighters.
Really?
Susanna Hupp.
Oh, nice.
Been on the show. Nikki Gosar, been on the show many times.
Very nice, very nice.
John Lott, who will be on the show today.
Mm.
Alan Guer, the lead attorney from the Supreme Court, Otis McDonald versus Chicago, otherwise known as the Chicago gun ban case, been on the show. And Otis McDonald himself will be on the show. It will be taped in front of a live studio audience.
Very nice. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Look at you. Big time.
And I've got new stuff to wear. You are on the Armed American Radio Network. We'll see you on the TV, too. Come right back. See you in a second.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS that you can't afford to pay? Or are you stuck in a tax payment plan that is getting you nowhere? The IRS is now taking very aggressive actions, such as bank levies and wage garnishments. If you owe the IRS at least $15,000, call American Tax Relief. They've helped thousands of people like you eliminate up to 85% of their delinquent taxes. Call 1-800-605-3241. If you qualify, American Tax Relief can settle your debts for less than you owe, remove penalties and interest, and protect you from bank levies and garnishments. As a hardworking American, you do have rights. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation and see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-605-3241. If you qualify, you can save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Call right now. 1-800-605-3241. That's 1-800-605-3241.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Well known for high-quality handmade leather holsters, Galco Gun Leather now offers a product line made of virtually maintenance-free kydex. Check out the Triton inside the waistband holster. The Triton by Galco is fast, thin, and easy to conceal. The belt clip offers quick on and off capability, while the sweat guard protects both the gun and the gun carrier. If you're a fan of kydex holsters and require deep inside the waistband concealment, the Galco Triton line is for you. Galco, for those who demand the best and know the difference. To order online, visit galcogunleather.com.
One shot, one kill. That's Extreme Shock, the world's most advanced ammunition. For self-defense or hunting, there is no equal. Engineered to inflict maximum damage on its target, Extreme Shock's composite bullets fragment on impact, delivering devastating stopping power and carving catastrophic wounds. We've got the photos, videos, and testimonials to prove it. Find a dealer or order now at ExtremeShockUSA.net.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, the founder of eHarmony. You know, when you're matched with someone on 29 dimensions of compatibility, it's a whole new world. Listen to what Erica, a real-life eHarmony success story, has to say about it.
It's absolutely different for me than any other previous relationship. I never imagined that I would find someone that would make me so happy.
Visit eHarmony.com and discover what so many singles have found. Log on today and review your eHarmony matches absolutely free. eHarmony.com.
This hour of Armed American Radio is proudly being brought to you by the Gun Owners of America, the GOA, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Join the Gun Owners of America, folks, at gunowners.org. I did. Welcome back. Oh, yeah, that's... check that out. A little bit of Nugent cranking in there. That's fun stuff. I'm going to start off with an email real quick. Hello, Mark. I would like you to know that today I purchased a Galco FX suede-lined holster for my Glock 19 from my local gun dealer. Although I've been looking at purchasing a Galco holster for a while now, hearing their commercial on your show piqued my interest even more. Also, please know that today I sent an email to Galco letting them know that I heard about them on your radio show. Thank you for the show. Sincerely, Sean McCarthy, Royal Oak, Michigan. No, Sean, thank you. Thank you for supporting our supporters because it enables us to bring Armed American Radio to you. I have forwarded this email to Galco to let them know. And, you know, everyone that we get, we do the same. So thanks for supporting our supporters. We appreciate that very, very much. Sean, what are you laughing at?
You almost said your own name.
I almost said March, didn't I? I think I did.
Yeah.
That's okay. Hey, well, it's live radio. What can I say?
Oh, you know. We have our first guest on.
Do we? Mr. Lott is on.
Yes, he is.
Wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, my next guest, first guest, I should say, is if you have not read More Guns, Less Crime, you need to. Now, this is the third edition. I went through it fine-tooth comb over the past few days. I've read all three editions of the book. It is amazing. John R. Lott, famed researcher, economist, and author of the More Guns, Less Crime series, now in third edition, is out now. Understanding Crime and Gun Control Laws is a fascinating read. Listen to what the Chicago Tribune says. Lott turns conventional wisdom concerning violent crime and handguns on its head. Please welcome John Lott to Armed American Radio for the first time. John, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Oh, I am so glad you're here. I've got so many questions for you. I don't even know where to begin. I started the show today with a quote from your book. And I guess I should ask you this to start with, because I know a little bit of background here. When you began researching all of this material, this exhaustive material over the years, you didn't come into this looking at one way or the other. You simply printed what you found, correct?
Right. Well, I mean, I suppose my views were similar to most people's, probably, in terms of how they've been influenced by the media. I'd done a lot of research on crime. I'd taught a lot of classes on crime. I'd worked in the federal government dealing with law enforcement. I was chief economist for the U.S. Sentencing Commission. So I thought a lot about crime issues prior to doing the work on guns. I just had never been very interested in the issue of guns and crime. And the work I had seen had looked pretty bad to me, but it's just basically I was teaching a class on crime at the Wharton Business School, and some students asked me if I'd be willing to give a short lecture on gun control, and it forced me to look more carefully at some of the existing work that was done. And they were all extremely small studies, looking at something like 30 counties in 1 year. None of the previous work had tried to even account for even some of the most basic things that can affect crime, like law enforcement.
Now, I think what I'll do is just start with some questions, because the book is a solid read and it's deep. And if you want to read it word for word and look at the graphs and charts, it's going to take a lot more time than I did. I went through some of the chapters in anticipation of our conversation today. And, of course, I've read the first edition and second edition, so I had a very good idea, and I read a lot of your work. Gun control, I mean, you have driven the gun control crowd bonkers with this stuff because they have such a difficult time refuting your evidence and basic evidence. Does gun control reduce crime? A simple, basic question. Does it reduce crime?
Right. Well, I don't think it does. And I suppose for this new edition, one takeaway question I'd like people to have is that if they get into a debate with someone and somebody who's supporting gun control, I think one simple question you can ask them is for them to name one place in the world where we've had a gun ban and murder rates have gone down. Even one place in the world where we've had a gun ban and murder rates have stayed the same, because I can't find it. Every place that I've looked at, you see increases in murder and often very large, many-fold increases in murder. I mean, Americans are familiar with what's happened in D.C. and Chicago. They know that when we had handgun bans in D.C. and Chicago, there were big increases in murder rates. Many people may know that after the 2008 Heller decision that struck down the D.C. gun ban and and also struck down the gun lock requirements, there's been a huge drop in murders in D.C. Last year, D.C.'s murder rate fell by about 25%. This year, it's fallen by another 15% or so. So you've had, over 2 years, you've had about a 40% drop in murders in D.C. It's just truly phenomenal. And, surely if there had been an increase, it would have been making national news and it would have been getting a lot of attention. But it's not just Washington, D.C. and Chicago that see those patterns. I mean, gun control advocates, when you bring up Washington, D.C. and Chicago, they say, well, those aren't really fair tests because unless you have the gun bans over the entire country, criminals can go and get their guns either in Chicago's case from the rest of Illinois or from places like Indiana, or they can get them from Virginia and Maryland in the case of D.C. And so they say, you know, it's not a fair test. But I have two responses. One is, if they really thought that it was destined to fail, they could have at least mentioned that when they were pushing for these laws to begin with, because that's not what was mentioned when they were pushed for. And the second thing is, it's just not Washington, D.C. and Chicago. Ban after ban around the world, whether it's the entire nation that has a ban or even an island nation, I go through these in the book with what I think are some pretty amazing charts just to show how murder rates change before and after gun bans have put in place. You know, like Ireland or Jamaica, you see huge increases in murder rates that start right when bans go in place.
This is not shocking to me. To me, this is common sense. And, of course, in the crowd I run with, this seems to be common sense. You know, but Paul Helmke, for example, is always trying to refute your evidence. And I notice when he does it in such a way that he says that your data is not accurate, and then he says, but what we really want to do, he always comes out with a but, and he tries to change the subject. Have you ever debated Paul Helmke?
Yeah, I debated him this last week at the Cato Institute.
Okay, he was there.
A couple of years ago in front of something for Students for Concealed Carry on campus had set up. So I've debated him maybe a few times over the years.
Nope.
But, you know, he was asked about this issue about the question that I just gave about can you identify one place in the world that's had a gun ban and murder rates have gone down. And he was saying, look, the gun ban isn't really a question we're debating anymore. You know, we want other types of reasonable regulations. We're not supporting a gun ban. And but, you know, the thing is, I think it's really telling because just shortly a while ago, you can find plenty of quotes about what they were predicting was going to happen in
right.
D.C. when the ban was going to be eliminated. And I think it is something, a question of how well they understand things, whether their predictions turn out to be true. But I think it's more than that because the ban...
John, I need you to hold that thought for 1 second because that's the old blood in the streets type thing that we hear about all the time. We'll be right back after these messages and continue this fascinating conversation with John Lott. You are on the Armed American Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
With consumers still looking to save money wherever they can, getting the most out of their cars continues to be very important. Jody DeVere, president of Women's Automotive Association International, knows that using quality products in your car today can help save money in the long run.
Motor oil is called the lifeblood of your car's engine and one of the most important ways you can protect your investment. But all motor oils are not the same.
DeVere recommends asking for a high-quality oil by name because Pennzoil and Quaker State, for example, invest heavily in comprehensive product testing and are formulated to meet the demands of today's engines.
Don't leave the oil choice to the person behind the counter, because using a high-quality motor oil in the right grade can help maximize fuel economy, minimize emissions, and help save money by preventing costly engine damage.
For more information about the importance of high-quality motor oil, visit motoroilmatters.org. I'm Ron Javers.
Imagine all your important files are on your office computer, which is usually the case. So to work from home or while traveling, you have to copy files to CDs or to a flash drive or email files to yourself or sync up to your laptop. Whatever it is, it's a hassle, and half the time we forget to do it. So there's an answer. It's the answer I've been using for years. GoToMyPC. Use GoToMyPC to remotely access your office Mac or PC from any other computer on Earth. Simply log on to GoToMyPC.com and you'll have instant access to your Mac or PC. I had the computer of my home in front of me in Africa, thanks to GoToMyPC. It's easy to set up, easy to use, and as secure as online banking. If you or your employer don't have a web-based remote access service, now's the time. I want you to try GoToMyPC free today. I have a special 45-day free trial for my listeners if you use the promo code Prager. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button. Remember to use the promo code Prager.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Hi, this is Bill Bennett, and you're listening to Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, redefining weekend talk radio.
Hey, that's pretty cool, Sean.
Yes, it is.
That's Bill Bennett. That's pretty neat. Ladies and gentlemen, yeah, that is cool. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. Bill Bennett's listening. So should you be. We're going to go right to our guest, John Lott. If you're interested in talking to John, please give us a call at 877-956-9566 or send me an email to mark@armedamericanradio.org. But this is a fascinating conversation, and there's so much to cover with him. I want to get directly to it. John, when we left for the break, you were talking about some of the predictions that the anti-gun crowd makes when we see, you know, they say they don't want to ban guns, yet they're fighting for support of the bans, and they make these wild, crazy predictions that always refer to blood in the streets. We saw it back in Florida in the early or mid-'80s, and we see it time after time after time, but it never comes true, does it?
No, I mean, whether you saw the assault weapons ban sunset in 2004 or what was going to happen after these gun bans, gun ban was struck down in D.C., or the concealed carry laws or others, time after time, their predictions turn out to be false. The point I was going to make before the break, and the third edition goes through a lot of the changes that have been happening in the gun debate on these issues in the last 10 years, looking at things like the assault weapons ban sunsetting. But one of the big reasons why I focus on in the book on the gun bans is that I think it gives kind of a simple discussion for people about the gun control debate, because you know, we all want to try to take guns away from criminals. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And surely it seems like one of the simplest ways you can do that is just by banning guns completely. The problem is, not just with bans, but with other types of gun laws, is you have to ask a question. That is, who's most likely to obey these laws? Because if it turns out that it's the law-abiding good citizens who turn in their guns and not the criminals, rather than making things safe for the victims, you may unintentionally make them safe for the criminals because they have less to worry about in terms of a victim being able to defend themselves. Just as you can deter criminals with higher arrest rates or higher conviction rates or longer prison sentences, the fact that a would-be victim might be able to defend themselves can also make it more costly, riskier for criminals to go and commit crime and deter some of them from doing it.
Now, that's I tell you, you open up a ton of questions with that. You mention in your book that criminals operate under self-preservation, don't they? They're there to preserve themselves.
I think criminals are like anybody else, and that if you make something more difficult, more dangerous for them, they'll do less of it. When I was chief economist at the Sentencing Commission, U.S. Sentencing Commission, which sets the federal penalties for all federal crimes, I must have read thousands of court transcripts where the prosecutor would get one of the criminals to turn evidence against the other criminal. And they'd ask them the same questions each time. It would be like two guys who had engaged in a robbery. Why did you choose this particular victim to go and rob? And they would say, well, because we thought about going after the drug dealer, but that'd be suicide. The guy's well-armed. He has lots of people with him. There's no way we'd be able to be successful there. We thought about going after a cab driver, but those guys are often well-armed. And so we saw this weak-looking victim, whether it be a relatively small woman or whether it be a frail or older guy or something, and they say, you know, because they look like such an easy mark, that's the person we chose to go after to rob. So it's something that they think about all the time when they're trying to decide what crimes to go and commit. And it's no different when you're talking about, you know, the risks that they face in terms of people defending themselves in other ways.
Now, you can also talk about, for example, hot burglaries, which you do in the book. And hot burglary, folks, being an armed or a home invasion when the homeowner is home. Now, when you see concealed carry laws go into effect, you see a reduction in burglaries of this nature, don't you?
Well, burglaries, you see drops in robberies, and that's because the concealed carry, and there's some robberies which are these home robberies that you're talking about, but robberies in general, you are more costly because before the victims weren't able to have a gun to defend themselves. Now at least some of them do. And you see some increased risk and some reduction for criminals going and committing crimes. Just generally, home ownership of guns makes burglary more difficult. If you compare burglaries in the United States versus other countries, say England, for example, the hot burglary rate in the United States may be about 13%. In England, it may be about 59%, and we do surveys of burglars that are in prison, just asking them, how long did you spend casing a dwelling? Why did you spend the time that you did? Similar surveys are done in other countries. And in England, for example, English burglars spend about half as much time casing a house before they decide to break in. And the reason why American burglars spend so much more time trying to make sure nobody's in the home, because they're worried about getting shot. That's not something British burglars care about. So in Britain, you have not only a much higher burglary rate than you have here in the United States, it's about twice the burglary rate here in the United States, but when burglaries do occur, they're much more likely to end up running into people in their homes because they don't really care whether the people are there when they break in or not, because they're not worried about them very much.
Now, this to me is common sense. Sean, are you listening to this?
Yes, I am.
This is common sense. Okay? Now, John, I know that you, when you look at studies and talk to convicted felons, they will tell you that they fear an armed homeowner more than they fear the police, correct?
Yeah, no, a lot of them. But, I mean, the basic point is just that they fear them. And that you just need the simple point that they're worried about them, and to the extent they're worried about them, at least some, and in this case, many of them change their behavior. You know, they make sure that nobody's there. Some of them, just because you can't always be sure whether a resident's there, decide not even to commit the crimes that they would have committed otherwise.
All right. Now, the gun control crowd, as you mentioned before the first break, has largely abandoned, and I think they have accepted what's going to happen in Chicago, much, you know, on the heels of what happened in the 2008 Heller decision in D.C., and it's getting tougher for them at every twist and turn. What they're going to try to do, in my opinion, is they're going to try to take a defeat in the courts in the McDonald case, and I've read the transcripts, and to me, I felt really sorry for the Chicago attorneys arguing the case. It almost seemed that they were defeated before they went in, but I think what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to turn this defeat into a victory based on the amount of regulation that the Supreme Court allows. And they always tell us reasonable regulation. Can you think of any reasonable regulation that works with all of this exhaustive work that you've done?
Well, I mean, my own guess is that what they're going to do is push for all sorts of regulations. You know, the gun debate, Heller is not, unfortunately, not going to be the end of the issue. It's a very narrowly decided decision in striking down the D.C. gun ban. It's 5-4. My guess is you're going to have another very narrow decision, 5-4, in the Chicago case. That basically means that the change of one justice, so if Kennedy or one of the four more conservative justices were to die or retire, and get replaced by somebody like Sotomayor or Kagan, two justices, for example, who are adamantly against the individual right to self-defense. When Sotomayor testified before the Senate in her hearing last year, she asserted that there was not an individual right to self-defense.
Unbelievable.
That and Kagan basically ran Bill Clinton's anti-gun campaign when she was deputy domestic policy advisor for him.
Mm. Yeah, and that's so scary.
And so, you know, Obama is strongly anti-gun, and he's putting in justices and other judges who put this decision at risk.
No question. John, hold on with us. We've got one more segment after these messages, folks. We'll be right back to continue the discussion with John Lott, author of More Guns, Less Crime. Stick around. I want to check with him on some issues in Chicago and Mayor Daley. We'll be right back.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-412-7799. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-412-7799. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-412-7799. That's 1-866-412-7799.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget crossbreedholsters.com.
1 500-pound wild boar. 1 9-millimeter round of extreme shock ammunition. Bacon, anyone?
That's all it takes when you're using the world's most advanced ammunition. Used by special ops and police, Extreme Shock's lethal bullet technology features unrivaled expanding fragmentation that stops the threat and inflicts massive tissue damage. See the photos and videos at ExtremeShockUSA.net.
My name is Todd Davis, CEO of LifeLock. What I'm about to tell you is true. My social security number is 457-55-5462. You may think I'm crazy, but I know my identity is safe. At LifeLock, we give you a $1 million guarantee that your identity will not be stolen.
Every 3 seconds, someone's identity is stolen. It's not just the money that's being stolen. It's your reputation, your credit, and your valuable time to fix the huge mess. At LifeLock, we aim to prevent identity theft before it happens. And if anything happens while you're a client of LifeLock, you'll be protected by our exclusive $1 million service guarantee. With LifeLock, you'll also see a huge reduction in junk mail and pre-approved credit offers. Call 1-800-607-8961 right now and get 30 days of LifeLock for free. Protect yourself and your family from identity theft. And when you call right now, get 30 days free. Call now, 1-800-607-8961. That's 1-800-607-8961. Again, 1-800-607-8961.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher, and you're listening to Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, redefining weekend talk radio.
Hey, Sean, that's pretty cool. Where'd you get all these guys talking about Armed American Radio?
Hey, you know, we were talking in the hall. No.
Mike Gallagher's a great guy. I've interviewed him right here.
Yes,
in
he
this
is.
Seat, and he is he's outstanding, and his support of the program is great, and I love it.
I see him every day.
Yeah, I thank him very much for tuning in, but he's a fan of Armed American Radio. I love it. We have, I understand, a caller that we want to go to with with John Lott here. And where is he calling from? I can't see my screen. So.
This is Tom from Modesto, California.
Tom, Modesto, California, east of San Francisco. Welcome to Armed American Radio. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, thank you. We have a local show here on KMPH that's Rob in the Morning. The host has aired this clip of a hysterical state senator who claims three different statistics, each of them resulting in a 550% greater chance of being killed. One of them is where you have a person who has a concealed carry permit. The other where you have a person that has a gun in their home. And another where a person has a firearm in their car.
And, of course, I'm sure they're alluding to road rage and that thing. So, in other words, the gun makes the person bad. Is that what he's alluding to?
She.
Okay. Yeah, well, we see this all the time.
Well, what's the evidence that the person has?
Well, that's just it. As a mathematician, I can tell you that it's statistically impossible to have three related statistics that all have the same result.
Right. Well, I assume she's just saying, claiming the direction, but, I mean, is she referring to a particular study? Is she referring to – what's she referring to?
Well, I've called her office a number of times, and I talked with one staffer who said that they had absolutely no idea where she got the statistics from. And
okay.
The other people,
well, I mean, I can guess, but it's just – first of all, the best evidence that we have on how you should behave when you're confronted by a criminal is from something called the National Crime Victimization Survey, which survey has been done for almost 30 years now. It's done by the Department of Justice. It surveys between 100 and 150,000 people each year. And something around 5,000 of those people each year, 5,000 to 6,000, are victims of violent crime. And what they'll do is they'll ask the people what crime was committed against you, you know, what time of day, what were the circumstances, who did it, and then they'll ask how the person responded. You know, did you behave passively? Did you try to run away? Did you use a knife, a stun gun? Basically, there are 10 options that you have there. And what they find over all this, these years and all these different types of crimes is that, but, and then they'll ask the person what happened in terms of whether they were seriously injured or whether the person, somebody that they were with, were seriously injured or killed. And what you find consistently is that by far the safest course of action for people to take when they're having to confront a criminal is to have a gun. Women are, who behave passively, for example, are about 2.5 times more likely to end up being seriously injured than a woman who has a gun. And men, the benefit isn't as large, but it goes in the same direction. Men who behave passively are about 1.6 times more likely to end up being seriously injured than a man who has a gun. And what you find, you know, and that's true across all the different types of crimes. It's true whether the criminal is armed or unarmed on average. And now, often the claims from the other side, particularly the claim about guns in the home, is based upon a few studies that were done by a public health person named Arthur Kellerman. And what he would do is he would find, look at a city, look at people who died in or near their residences, and then ask the relatives of the deceased whether that person owned a gun. And then he would just assume that if you owned a gun, that it was that gun that was used in the death.
Unbelievable.
And it turns out that when you actually go back and look at these things, you find that about 84% of those deaths were actually due to a weapon that was being brought in from the outside, not one that was owned in the home that was there. And usually the comparison is, it says, are you, if you own a gun in the home, are you more likely to kill yourself or somebody you know or kill a criminal? Now, the problem is that also tremendously undervalues the benefits that we get from defensive gun uses, because defensive gun uses rarely involve the gun having to be used. 95% of the time, simply brandishing a gun sufficient to cause a criminal to run away and break off the attack. Fewer than 1 out of every 1,000 times that people use guns defensively is the attacker killed. Woundings are about 7 or 8 times more frequent, but they're still a very tiny fraction of a percent. And so when you say, when you look at either just killings of attackers, or there's one of their studies that they include woundings, that's virtually ignoring all the benefits that you get from brandishing a gun, having a guy run away, from firing a warning shot, and even in the studies that are usually cited, even ignoring woundings of the attackers. And the problem is that those are all benefits. Having the guy run away and protecting yourself from a crime is beneficial, even if you didn't kill the attacker. But they ignore all those things there, so they've tremendously overestimate the cost by assuming that deaths are attributed to the gun in the home when the vast majority of them aren't. And then ignore almost all the benefits on the other side.
Well, it's particularly true in this case because this hysterical senator that was spouting these statistics was one of the people who sponsored the bill to ban open carry here in California.
Mm. I see. Well, in fact, the third edition of More Guns, Less Crime goes through these types of claims about the risks of guns in the home. There's actually, and there's one very similar study that's been done by some public health people dealing with carrying guns, and I go through and explain similarly the problems with that too. But it's, you know, here's a basic problem. I'll just give you one of the issues, and that is public health officials really don't know how to deal with what we call social study type data. The tests they use work fine when you're talking about testing drugs, but studying people is a completely different phenomenon. And that is because when you do drugs, you can randomly assign who gets the drug or not, whether they want it or not. And when I've debated public health people, one thing I'll point out is, what if we used your studies that you use for your methods that you use for studying guns on studying hospitals? So what we do is we find somebody who died over the course of the last year. We ask the relatives of the deceased whether or not the person went to the hospital. And then we ask people who are alive, and we ask them whether they've been, who are the same age, sex, and race, and live within a mile of the deceased, which is usually how they control for these things.
John, we've got about 30 seconds. I apologize.
Well, anyway, but as I said, I go through this more in the book. But the bottom line is that, you know, it'd be great if the police were there all the time. They're not. Police understand they almost always arrive on the crime scene after the crime's occurred. But by far the safest course of action for people to take when they're having to defend themselves against the criminals, they have a gun.
Unbelievable. John Lott, you will come back to Armed American Radio, I hope, in the near future.
Well, thanks for asking me.
Outstanding. Yeah. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom, I hope that answered your question. Ladies and gentlemen, that was John Lott, author of More Guns, Less Crime. John Lott will be on Stossel with me this coming week, Thursday at 8 p.m. Make sure you tune in. You're going to get a lot more of this information in detail, and it will be in front of a live studio audience, an awful lot of fun. We'll see you on the next hour of Armed American Radio. Stick around.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby, like a dog in you.
Jealous me by the hammer now, baby. This year, most of the U.S. had the kind of weather that would make a polar bear call in an order for a Snuggie. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby with the Three-Step Plan Home Business System. If you were working from home with the Three-Step Plan, you wouldn't have to fight the snow or traffic. You wouldn't have to worry about what to do with the kids on snow days. The Three-Step Plan could make it possible for you to work from the comfort of your home and earn as much or even more than you do sliding around on the pavement going to work for somebody else. Most people build a home business with the Three-Step Plan on a part-time basis. But many do develop a business that earns more than they did working at a job. Can you picture yourself beside the fireplace with a telephone and a computer working your own business? To find out how you can make more money working from home, go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-895-6545. 800-895-6545.
Hello, this is Steve Down, author of Financially Fit for Life. Several years ago, following a business failure, I found myself in more than $1 million in personal debt. The very thought of bankruptcy put me into despair. But then I realized that if I had the ability to get $1 million in debt, that same ability could get me out of debt. I then put together a plan to pay off my debt within 5 years without filing bankruptcy. I made an amazing discovery. The plan that would pay off my debt in 5 years was the same plan that could retire me in 5 years. But you don't have to take my word for it, because I'm willing to send you my free CD that has proven to thousands how they could do the same, debt-free and financially free, all within 5 years. I know you too can do the same. Because it's free, you have nothing to lose but your debt, and you have a lifetime of financial health and wealth to gain. Call now for your free CD at 888-7-WAKE-UP. That's 888-7-WAKE-UP. 888-792-5387.